What do you know about all the filth that's going on here, huh?
Filth?
Oh, come on, Inspector. Certainly you know what I'm doing here, don't you?
Another day to live through. Better get started.
The United States Supreme Court has described it as dirt for dirt's sake.
This not just like some whiny guy up there crying about how his girlfriend left him. You know, he's going to slit his wrist. It's a rock and roll show. Oh, it's about happiness and all right, maybe this is some not so happy shit.
Drink up, man. We got 2 six-packs to kill.
Sort of like, you know, communal, let's all get together and have a big orgy feeling.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity, the teachers of unnatural sex acts, had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
Remember what I said. I'm gonna kill you.
Certainly!
Hello and good afternoon. This is Boris. I'm here with Snake Alley at garagepunk.com. You know, some people say that the slicing of flesh is not a thing of beauty. Their minds have been twisted. So pick up your knife, kiddies, and go into your dark, dark bedroom, and I'll be in later to bite your navel.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Thursday, hanging out with Bob and Jeff on Snake Alley. It's snaky.
That's right, Mal. It is snaky. Snake Alley. Welcome, folks, to a new episode. Finally, it's been a little break here. But anyway, we just heard from the Monsters from the Surf, and that's called Caveman. And we're going to be talking a little bit about a couple Caveman movies here. And joining me once again, as always, is my guest Jeff. How you doing there, Jeff?
Oh, real good, Bob Noxious. You know, you mentioned Monster from the Surf. Actually, that was a low-budget movie made in 1966, starring former 30s and 40s matinee idol John Hall. Open Sesame!
Okay. All right, but yeah, I think these guys are kind of a new band. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's pretty cool. K-Man, because we're going to be talking about K-Man, and no reason to go ahead and talk about anything else right now other than, hey, the Cardinals just got a big World Series win, middle of the World Series. Maybe by the time we get this episode out, they'll be world champions. Or so are losers.
That's right. Thank God we have Pujols and Wainwright.
Adam Wainwright. Gotta love it. 6'7", like a slingshot.
What, 24 years old?
Something like that. We got nothing but rookies. We got rookies all over the place, man. The rookies are kicking ass and making Tony La Russa look good. Which he can use all the help he can get. Anyway, a guy that Tony La Russa probably could use on his team is this caveman from Memorial Valley Massacre from 1988.
I mean to tell you, this young fellow they've got playing the Neanderthal-type preacher is one well-developed son of a bitch because he does his own stunts. He runs like a gazelle, and he actually bears a very strong resemblance to the monster from the first Star Trek pilot episode with Jeffrey Hunter that Jeffrey Hunter killed. The only thing missing, it seems, is the mustache and beard.
Okay, well, let's forget about Star Trek for a minute here. This movie, it's one of those 1988 movies. A lot of the people look like they're in Duran Duran, a couple of young kids. And it stars John Kerry before he got into politics. Am I correct there?
Well, about as actual to the truth as it can be.
John Kerry.
Yeah, not to be confused with John Kerry.
Oh, you're talking about the sore loser.
That's right. The one we're talking about, folks, has got to be one of the biggest alcoholics I've seen in a long time.
Well, he does a little bit of drinking of Jack Daniels on this.
Not to mention the Everclear movie. And the Everclear, too.
Yeah. And, there's a little bit of, there's a lot of drinking going on in this thing.
A lot of drinking.
A lot of Meisterbrau and Budweiser and bikers. You got this crazy kid that's on a three-wheeler.
I asked.
Looks like a young John Candy or
you
something.
Know, Bob Noxious, I had the opportunity last week to speak with Charlton Heston to see what he thought about the movie. And you know what he said?
No telling.
It's a madhouse! It's a madhouse!
All right. Anyway, enough talking about this. This is a Memorial Valley Massacre. This one is not on archive.org. We'll talk later about where you can find it. It is in the public domain, though. And let's go ahead and take a look at it here. And I think this is when they're, I'm not sure. Let's go ahead and just cut this. To the movie here.
Right to it, Bob Noxious.
What do you mean the park's not ready to open?
Just what I said to you, Mr. Sangster.
You have been up here 4 months to make this campground operational. I show up for the big opening, Memorial Day weekend, and now you tell me the camp is not ready for the public? Well, I call that incompetence.
We just lost a man in a construction accident this morning.
I don't want any alibis, no excuses. My firm has made a major investment in this development. We have big future plans for Memorial Valley. Ski resorts, shopping centers, condominiums, etc. And that's only the beginning.
Yes, sir, I hear you, but the roads aren't finished. The electrical's out. The supplies are late.
Did you hear about the water supply?
Byron!
Attention, folks. I'm sorry for the delay, but as you know, this is a brand new facility, so we haven't got all the bugs out yet. As of this morning, we are without running water. Unfortunately, that means that we will temporarily be without restroom facilities.
What do you mean, temporarily?
Over this Memorial Day weekend, at the least. We're going to distribute biodegradable toilet paper.
Leon, toss me a brew.
Woo!
shook the can, moron.
I'll tell you about another can that shook up. 400 miles of shook up.
And loving every minute of it. Oh, you begin? Ain't none of them large butts gonna be making this trip. We're it.
Bullshit. Merle's right. The days when we had 200 bikers rolling down I-70 on a road trip are gone.
Yeah, man. Most of those mothers have traded their Harleys and leathers in for Beamers and pinstripe suits. Face it, we're an anachronism.
The hell I am. What's that mean, anachronism?
It means we're not cool anymore, mm-hmm. Dude.
What kind of place is this? I mean, first the road's not finished, then there's no water, then this? We could have been killed. We're leaving.
Sir, if you'll just give us a chance, I'm sure we can...
It's too damn late for that. What if my kids were here? We're just all damn lucky nobody was hurt. And we're leaving before somebody is. You know, I'd heard stories about this valley, but I never paid any attention.
Have a seat. How about a drink?
Why not? Have you got any Jack Daniels?
There's a bear shit in the woods. Can you scoot your crumb to your little picnic over there? What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just passing by. I noticed your trash can had been scattered all over the side of your campsite.
Is that right?
Did you see or hear anything?
Now, I'm sure you've all heard by now about the boy who was attacked by a bear. Best I can make out, he was illegally motorcycling in the backwoods, so the attack did not occur on the campground. Nevertheless, I'm leading a hunting party this morning to get the bear, so I would like volunteers.
Good luck on your safari.
We'll supply rifles for those who don't have them.
Oh, boys and girls.
Are you kidding?
It might be worth our while to go on a little hunting trip ourselves, huh?
Care for a bear meat burger, Emily?
Bear meat, what's the matter with you? I'm talking about the bikes. There's got to be a few hundred bucks in spare parts there.
Hey, you're right.
Wait a minute. Besides, you guys going to go running out into the woods with a killer bear on the loose? You're nuts. What's there to worry about? You got this?
All by yourself?
Ain't nothing gonna bother me with this.
Yeah, I'm game. Let's go. You guys are crazy.
Yeah, man.
Wives, talk some sense into your senseless husbands.
They're gonna do what they want no matter what you tell them.
But they're not gonna shoot any stupid guns.
That's our girl.
Here, take it. Please, leave me alone.
All right, not a bad movie for a bunch of unknown actors and pretty lame a plot. And forgot to mention Cameron Mitchell stars in this.
Oh, let me tell you something about Mr. Cameron Mitchell. And the thing is, I always did think he was a good actor. But like, he had a reputation, I guess it was, and I hope it doesn't be taken literally by reputation, but he appeared probably in at least 40 or 50 low-budget horror and science fiction films in 15 years.
Well, he's in this one for about maybe 1 minute, two minutes.
Maybe.
And that's about it. But now, back here to Memorial Day Massacre, the movie we're looking at. It's pretty cool because they actually think that it's a bear doing all the killing, but it's actually a caveman. And the first thing they do is they start handing out high-powered rifles to all the drunken campers.
That's right. And by the way, I talked with Charlton Heston earlier last month about the movie. Oh, no, let me tell you. You know what he said?
Not again.
You know what he said?
What'd he say?
Right on.
Okay. Anyway, I mentioned that this is a pretty good movie. I'm not going to blow how it ends, but it's cool. Jeff mentioned, the caveman guy is a pretty good stuntman. He does some backflips out of trees and runs real fast. He catches up to three-wheelers.
I mean, if you think that Buddy Ebsen ran fast when he was in Barnaby Jones, This young fellow they got playing the Neanderthal teenager gives him a run for his money.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So you think he would have beat him in a leg race, huh?
Maybe even a Johnny Weissmuller.
All right, good. That's a good comparison. I could dig that. Anyway.
Could Johnny.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Memorial Valley Massacre from 1988. It is in public domain. It is not on archive.org, where a lot of the movies we featured are found. This can be found in a lot of these multiple discs, what they call these super pack, DVD super packs, where you get 50 movies for like $20. Another place is, I found it online. If you do a Google search, Memorial Valley Massacre, which actually takes place over Memorial Day weekend. So anyway, if you do a search on it, Google, and public domain, you'll find out there is a BitTorrent for it. I don't know anything about BitTorrent, although I've tried to use that to download songs before, and actually these movies, and it's very, very, very slow, and just I never had any success with it. But this movie, if you poke around a little bit, you will find it, and it's worth a look, it's worth a laugh. Again, Memorial Valley Massacre. Guess I say that enough times. Yep, time to listen to some music. And did you have anything else to say about that movie, Jeff?
Oh, yes, indeed. Like I said, if you have an hour, 25 or an hour, 30 minutes to waste, go ahead and watch this movie, because actually they try.
All right, it's not bad. I like it. A lot of people that I've tried to turn it on to don't like it. Pam doesn't like it. But anyway, I like it. And anyway, time, like I said before, time to go ahead and take in some music here.
Well, what are you waiting for?
All right, rock and roll. That was the Ghastly Ones from their album Draculine. That's called Full Throttle, Empty Bottle from, of course, Draculine. That's what I said already. Anyway, the Ghastly Ones, they take their name from a pretty cheesy Z-budget movie. Jeff knows a little bit about it.
Thank you, Bob Noxious. As a matter of fact, I remember back in the fall of 69, and it was playing, the Ghastly Ones was playing on a double bill with Blood of Dracula's Castle. And we sat through the Ghastly Ones, and I'll tell you, it was supposed to be a monster movie, but it was the best sex horror film we had seen at that age, the young age of 16. Anyway, and now you've had a chance to listen to one of the excerpts, I turn it back over to Bob Noxious.
Okay, Jeff. Always dramatic. Anyway, our next movie has a caveman in it. He's a frozen caveman, and he's not as active as the last caveman, not very athletic, not very good makeup, but it's from 1978, I do believe, and it's called Horror Express, and it stars the immortal pairing of Christopher Lee and, I keep forgetting his name, Peter Cushing.
That is correct. That's right, Bob Noxious.
They're close friends.
Actually, they had appeared opposite each other to some extent since 1948 in Sir Laurence Olivier's Hamlet. They both had minor parts in that, and then over the years, they appeared more and more together, including Moulin Rouge with José Ferrer, and all the way up until the time when Peter passed away.
They made a lot of good horror movies.
Excellent. Horror of Dracula, Curse of Frankenstein,
The Creeping Flesh,
The Hounds of the Baskervilles.
Well, Horror Express here is sort of like the Orient Express. I think they're on the same damn train, aren't they? They start in Siberia.
I believe you're right, Bob Noxious, and I will say this about the train shots. They did some excellent miniature work.
Yep, and all those train shots were ripped off from a flick they did right before the, well,
Pancho Villa, I believe.
That's correct.
Pancho Villa with Tally Savalas, who just, by instance, is co-starring in Horror Express.
Well, actually, he doesn't co-star. He comes in at the end playing a detective. Hey, but he's not, no, he's like a prince or a king or something, right?
Yeah, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe he is a tech. I don't know. Anyway, he comes in at the end. And anyway, they're taking, these scientists are basically the way the plot goes is scientists have this frozen caveman guy and are smuggling him from Manchuria.
You must remember, this was made the same year Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee did Dracula 1972 AD for Hammer.
Okay, well, anyway, let's go ahead and look at a little bit of it. Here it is from 1978, Horror Express.
The following report to the Royal Geological Society by the undersigned Alexander Saxton is a true and faithful account of events that befell the Society's expedition in Manchuria.
What are you going to astound the scientific world with this time?
You'll read about it in the Society's annual report.
It's a remarkable fossil. A fossil? But you've got something live in there. I heard it.
You're mistaken.
You won't need to feed it, then.
The occupant hasn't eaten in 2 million years.
That's one way to economize on food bills.
You wish to see us?
I thought one of you might know what happened to the baggage man.
I haven't the remotest idea.
What about you?
Perhaps it had something to do with what's inside that crate.
I agree with you. He was trying to open it when something happened.
What? Fortunately, he was interrupted.
Yes. By whom? Why are you so worried about it being opened?
It may be my fault. I asked the baggage man to take a look. I was curious.
It was no concern of yours. Or of yours. My God. It's the baggage man.
What was in there?
I told you, a fossil, part ape, part man. It lived 2 million years ago.
Are you telling me that an ape that lived 2 million years ago got out of that crate, killed the baggage man and put him in there, then locked everything up neat and tidy and got away?
Yes, I am. It's alive. It must be.
Lock him up. We'll search the train and find it, whatever it is, and destroy it.
But if it's alive...
I want this kept quiet.
You're in bad humor because you've lost your box of bones?
That box of bones, madame, could have solved many of the riddles of science. If the theory of evolution is confirmed, if the science of biology is revolutionized, if the very origin of man is determined...
I have heard of evolution. It's immoral.
It's a fact. And there's no morality in a fact.
I'm a police inspector.
Everybody's under arrest. Including you. Who are the killers? Who are the troublemakers? Who are the foreign influences, huh? Oh!
Don't worry. I'll smoke them out.
What's he raving about?
You English believe in free speech, don't you, huh?
Certainly.
If instead of babbling nonsense, you'd investigate this property.
Oh, this is outrageous. Oh.
So, you're a police inspector, huh?
Yes, Captain. Mirov is my name.
Mirov? Oh, Mirov. That's a good Russian name, Mirov. Tell me, Mirov. What do you know about all the filth that's going on here, huh?
Filth?
Oh, come on, Inspector. Certainly you know what I'm doing here, don't you? You just point out the suspects, and I promise you I'll get the truth out of them.
You're mistaken, sir.
Mistaken?
Fool!
Well, I don't know about you, Jeff, but that one kind of puts me to sleep.
You mean Horror Express does Bob Noxious?
Well, sure. What else are we talking about? Yeah, this one kind of puts me to sleep. It is interesting. Tell me what you like about it.
The thing I liked about this movie was, even though they did primarily, besides Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee being British, they also had an international production with this film. It was shot 3 versions, from what I understand. Spanish, English, and American. And for the most part, the supporting actors are all foreign. What they did with this movie is what they did with Bela Lugosi when he first did Dracula. He did not speak English. He spoke his words phonetically. And that's what they do here.
Aha. So instead of dubbing in English, they went ahead and had the actors speak phonetically.
Actually had the actors speak phonetically.
Now, that's pretty good, because we're going to be looking at a movie after this where they dubbed in some bad English, for sure.
Undoubtedly, yeah. Bob Noxious.
We'll talk about that. We'll jump off that bridge when we get to it. But anyway, this one's not too bad. Like I said, it put me to sleep. It is in color. It does have Christopher Lee. It does have Peter Cushing. It does have Telly Savalas. In his usual arrogant role, I think he actually kills some people.
Actually, I think the train upstaged everybody, because those are some of the best miniature shots.
Okay, always the technical guy. You know, but anyway, this one's not on archive.org. This is, again, something I found on one of these. I found this on the internet, and it's available in some of these multi-packs you'll find out there, like Chiller Classics and stuff like that. Where they are in public domain. And if you did a search, like I told you about these BitTorrents, if you just did public domain and Google and then Horror Express, you would come across a place where you could download. I actually saw on this one site to where you can download it either for your iPod, which is like an MP4 or some format. You can actually, I don't know if you can make DVDs out of them like you can off archive.org. That's what's so cool about archive.org is they got the big fat files that you can make burn DVD to. Now, but what's cool about this is, as you look down their list of their on this particular site, I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, do Google search, you'll find it. Public domain, and then just mention, you know, the name of one of these movies. It'll take you there. And they also have it available to download for PSP2, personal PlayStation, I guess. Maybe it's just a personal PlayStation. And other formats, in Windows format. So it's pretty cool. So you're not limited to just burning a DVD of it. You can put it on your iPod and take it with you and watch it. There's a whole bunch of movies out there. Again, it runs in that BitTorrent thing. I didn't mean to get into it a lot, but people have been emailing me and blogging me, asking me, hey, what's the deal? And if you want to blog me or send a message, there is a MySpace up there. If you do a search for Bob Noxious on MySpace or for Snake Alley, you'll find it up there. Okay, enough for the internet jazz. We're going to go ahead and check out some more music here. And then we're going to get back with another feature. We got three features. It's triple feature this time.
Mm-hmm.
On Snake Alley, number 12.
That's right, Bob Noxious.
Close or uptight, Band's spray deodorant is a day-expanding experience because Band won't wear off as the day wears on.
Band won't wear off as the day wears on.
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 Be all right.
All right. That was something weird. That was H.P. Lovecraft in a radio spot.
Also, one of H.P. Lovecraft's most popular and best novel, The Dunwich Aura.
Okay, so that was off of some album called Oh Yeah, the Best of Dunwich Records, and some radio spot with H.P. Lovecraft. Anyway, before that we heard Baja Riba by the Ape Men. I've been talking a lot about Ape Men and that stuff, but that was from 7 Inches of Love, Double Crown Records, which is an excellent surf label out there. Excellent surf music. And let's go ahead and we're going to stop talking about Ape Men and Bigfoot creatures and cavemen and all that stuff. We're going to go ahead and take a departure from the normal. And we do need to talk about this because one of the creepier guys that I've ever seen, a natural-looking creep, is Lee Van Cleef.
And there's only one other man that can possibly fill the alternate shoes, and that is Jack Palance.
Say it a little louder.
Jack Palance.
That's Palance or is that Palance?
It depends on what you say.
Okay. But anyway, we're going to look at a movie with both those guys in it, play the lead roles, the good guy and the bad guy. Actually, Lee Van Cleef plays two good guys in this one, does he not?
Oh, yes, and the fact, too, that Jack Palance has sneered and snickered through most of his film appearances for the simple reason that he did his last attempt, other than Leave It. Or not. His other television show was called Drunk.
Father John. Okay, before we get into this great movie, we'll go down the whole cast, but while we're talking about Jack Palance, it's your preference. Anyway, one thing about old Jack is you were telling me a story about him having his face reconstructed after having half of it blown off in World War II, am I correct?
Well, actually, a combination of blown off and burned. He was in the Navy during World War II, and actually what they had to do is they had him medevaced, from what I understand, back to the United States, and they rebuilt his face.
They rebuilt his face using Japanese POWs?
I don't know. That's absolutely true. I don't know whether that's fact or myth, but that's what I've heard.
Okay, you were telling me it, so, you know, I just want to get to the bottom of this stuff with
Oh,
you,
absolutely.
Jeff.
It's because,
you
know, like...
Even though you can't back up most of the stuff.
That's right. The thing is, Dick Smith, the 3-time Academy Awarding makeup artist that did the makeup when Jack played Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on television back in 67.
I loved it, man.
Is the fact that Dick Smith, the makeup artist, said when he took a mold of Jack's face, he said, this man has got to have one of the biggest heads I have ever seen.
All right, not as quite as big as Barry Bonds. But I guess Jack probably wasn't on the steroids. I guess it was just naturally big.
Well, it's like Jack said opposite Alan Ladd and Shane. Prove it.
Okay. Anyway, back to the movie at hand. God's Gun. 1976. Originally called, it's Diamante Lobo.
Lobo!
Diamante Lobo.
I say you know, whoosh! Whoosh!
And this is a spaghetti western, is it not?
Oh, I mean, they even went out for the expense of importing famous western actor,
Richard Boone.
Richard Boone, yeah. That's right, of Paladin Father fame. And let me tell you, it looks like, actually, he was embarrassed to be in it.
Well, he laughed his way through most of it, and he doesn't have a big part in it. He plays the town sheriff, and he's never around. And anyway, the evil-looking Lee Van Cleef, and then the equally evil kind of guy, Jack Palance is in this one. It's great. And you have, speaking of evil, you have the child antichrist of the late 70s, Leif Garrett.
Leif Garrett, I shouldn't say this. I saw Leif on a documentary, I think it was on E! Entertainment, about a half a year ago, and let me tell you, Leif, we've missed you.
I haven't missed you. Never liked the guy, man. Hey, first of all, back when this cat was, you know, big and making it, He was on Tiger Beat or 16. If you were on Tiger Beat or 16, no matter how cool you were, you were uncool
the
with me.
The first movie I ever saw Leif Garrett in was the original Walking Tall. With, you know, the original...
Yeah, he's Buford Pusser's son, right?
He came into the hospital where Buford was carrying a shotgun.
Okay, anyway, let's
but
go
enough
ahead.
Of Leif Garrett.
Oh, yeah, enough of that shit. But anyway, it also has some chick in there. It looks like Shelley Long to me. But anyway, this thing's pretty good. Let's go ahead and take a little listen.
Some good tits and ass sequences.
Well, yeah, but there's supposed to be massive rape sequence. And we'll get into that in just a little bit later. But let's go ahead and look at it. We've talked enough. Let's go ahead and listen to a few clips here of God's Gun from 1976. Yes, it's in the public domain.
Perfect.
You want a drink, stranger?
Well, that'll do me for a start. Hi.
Hi. They call me Chesky.
No kidding. You know, Jess, I think I'm going to like this place. Ah, looky here. Jess? Ah, thank you,
Chesty.
Oh, yes, Chesty. Now, what are you doing here? Why the hell ain't you in school?
It's my saloon.
You see, you ask a stupid question and...
And you get an answer.
Where's your father?
He's dead. Killed in a gunfight.
That's too bad. Wasn't fast enough with his gun, huh?
He was too fast. So they shot him in the back.
I think we're going to have ourselves a good time here. Now, how are you, Chesty?
That's up to you, stranger.
Oh, hot damn!
This is a respectable place, mister. You ask for whiskey and that's what you get. Just whiskey.
Oh, this is Wild Mare's milk, ma'am, and mighty fine, too.
I don't think you heard me. I said this is a respectable place.
Yes, ma'am, I hear you. I hear you now.
This is a respectable place.
Oh, boy. Not you, too. Oh. Nah.
You cowards. Cowards. A man has been killed and all you do is stand around. Isn't there anybody in this town with guts enough to do something about it? A man's been killed, murdered right here in the saloon. I thought we were supposed to have a sheriff in this town. Judge Barrett.
Get out of the way.
Sheriff, why don't you go after them? Are you going to let them get away with this? You can't let them get away.
Jenny, those men are gone.
Judge Barrett, something has to be done. This man was killed. He was murdered by the Claytons. The Claytons, they have to be stopped. They have to be arrested.
Do you know the Claytons?
Listen, Sheriff, I...
Jenny, take it easy. I'm glad those people are gone. I don't want any more trouble in this town. And going after them would just mean risking the lives of all these people.
But they must be punished.
Mine is the vengeance, saith the Lord. Sorry to destroy your slumber, gentlemen.
Well, boys, look who we got here. Local soul savior yourself. And what can we do for you, Father?
Spit it out, Father. What the hell do you want?
Now, damn it, Jess, them's playing bad manners. Please, please sit down, Father. We're always available for a good confession. Oh, Zeke, pour some coffee for our guest here.
I came to return your nephew's property, Clayton. I'm asking you to come back to Juno City with me. The judge is waiting for you. I have the other one, too. But I wouldn't try it if I were you.
Yeah, Jess, he's right. That man is right. Don't try it. Now, that voice. That voice rings a bell. Is it possible that we have met before?
I don't believe we've had the pleasure. Let's go, young man. I don't want to miss my morning mass.
Well, Father, I'm afraid you're just going to have to miss it.
He's the only good thing I got in my rotten life. Sam, please, I beg of you, don't take him away from me.
Now, shut up.
Okay, well, this isn't your normal spaghetti western, but then again it is because it has a big twist on it. Lee Van Cleef plays two parts in this. He plays a priest and his brother, who's an outlaw, that's living away from the law, and both of them were like the fastest guns in the West. I guess ran in a family that they were just incredible. There's some incredible gun shooting going on here and a display of marksmanship, I guess. And there's really, all the acting is great, really, except it seems like all the bad guys are, they all look like they're from the band Journey. And it looks like, and you have a couple guys that look like they're from, the organ player from Steppenwolf's in it, and Leo Kottke. And it looks just like there's a whole bunch of rock stars from the late 70s.
But I was, saying,
they're
Bob,
they're trying to be outlaws, and they don't it doesn't go over very well.
As I was saying, Bob Noxious, Richard Boone takes top honors for looking like he got mugged on the way to the studio.
Oh, yeah, and Lee Van Cleef, he's real good in this. Actually, you know, it's probably too good. But this Lee Van Cleef, actually, you know, he started out as an accountant. He was in the Second World War, and he came out, and he was an accountant. And his friends talked him into getting an accountant.
And he was missing a half a finger on one of his hands.
And they zero in, or they zoom in on this during this movie. They actually exploit that he's missing a finger. I guess it was his priest. So, anyway, I don't want to give it all away because it does have a good storyline, and it is worth watching. It's called God's Gun. It's from 1976. It's in the public domain. It's not available on archive.org. It is available on that other stuff. So if you're very resourceful, you'll either find it that way or you're going to find it on a $1 DVD or 50 DVDs for $20 somewhere. And it's in the public domain, so we can use pieces of it. And so it's all legal, so don't try to come and get us. You know, it'd be kind of hard for most of these guys in this movie to come get us because they're either dead. Maybe Lee Van Cleef's going to come and get us. I'm scared.
And started in the immortal words of Jack Palance, prove it.
Prove it, yeah.
And I said, man, I got to go to the store, man. I got to get a Twinkie, you know, because that's all I wanted. So I walked out the door with Twinkies on my mind. And you know what I was saying to myself. Got it bad, got it bad, got it bad. I'm hot for Twinkies. Bad. I'm hot for Twinkies. So you know I went to that store, they was out of Twinkies. I went to the next store, no Twinkies. I went to every store in town. You know what? There was no Twinkies in anywhere to be found.
Inhaling a bottle of hooch at a table.